Hey everyone, Kyle here. Just want to come to you at the top of the episode to let you know there is a content warning for this episode, so head to the episode description to check that out. Otherwise, let's get to it. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Bombarded. The Bards are back here with me once again.
Bards are back in town.
And I'm going to recap last episode, hopefully, real quick. So, you woke up, and in the morning, you learned about Randy working Alistair into this whole plan. But then you actually, sat down and talked with Alistair about the plan, went over it, and after that, you had contacted Dankle to let him know what you were going to do and how there was a trusted person that you're including in on it.
Well, that Randy trust. Remember, we have to be specific.
Yeah, that Randy trust. Dankle is just like, cool, we're going to be at the feast, just talking about him and Dankle, and of course, the rest of your family, as you know. After that, you decided you were going to go ahead and head on. You got your plan fleshed out. You actually performed the song to get your fancy clothes set up so that you matched in with the attire that was going to be at this feast. Razzle, you knowing usually what most people would wear at an event like this.
Oh, yeah.
Alistair seemed to have a hat that changed his appearance, and you made your way towards the Golden Ward to attend the feast. Along the way, Yashi was going to get down a persona.
Oh.
So amidst Razzle changing into a panther and Randy turning into a naked mole rat, you helped Yashi develop this persona of Acoustadendron from the Birch Banks.
Nice.
And you learned this through song.
Yes. Yeah.
Of course, with your invitation, and you've made it in before. You made it into the Golden Ward and to the roundabout where you were to exit your cart and get in line to enter the palace.
Mm-hmm.
And you eventually found your way to the banquet hall, which you noticed that there was a customary line where attendees greeted the royal family. Now, Yashi, Razzle, you didn't do that.
It wasn't apparently.
Yeah, you kind of kept to yourselves a little bit of a wallflower-esque approach to everything, while Alistair, with Randy in his pocket, did get in line, which, Randy, this offered you the opportunity to see the glory that is Dazzle. So,
yes.
Going down the line, and of course, you know, Alistair said hi to all the family, you know, shook hands with those who it was proper, but amidst this, Yashi and Razzle, you kept up with your wallflower act. There was a couple instances of talking with a few of the other attendants of this feast, but there wasn't much talking other than that.
It was mostly just trying to dodge people who were like, a talking panther? Oh? And it's just like, leave me alone. I'm sorry.
You definitely stand out as odd, but you're an invited guest of the royal family, so
That's great.
Are just not really thinking much of it other than like, well, they keep odd company.
It would have been great if I could have just been a pink panther, because that would have totally handled the background music for Spurrier and I, but oh well.
Not in the public domain quite yet, but you know, it's fine.
It's
Henry Mancini will see us in court.
Eventually, there was Alistair talked about trying to work out a way to be able to get past the doors of this banquet hall in a good reason, and this is when Yashi just kind of flipped his wine cup on him, and it wound up providing the perfect reason to need a more kind of private bathroom compared to what's available. Once past those doors, this is where Alistair and Randy split, Randy heading towards the vault, using stealth as a hare to blend in with the stone, and Alistair went back to the banquet hall. Randy, you did sneak your way to the hallway with the vault, which you noticed it was guarded by two beefy-looking dwarves that had these, I said fiery eyes, but it's more like, you know, an intent more than actual fire. Just to clarify
that
for
you. I wasn't sure
you.
If that was like they had some sweet spell on them or something, and their eyes were like flaming with magical justice or something, but that's good to know.
Flaming with determination to do their job well.
Right.
So,
good to know.
With that being said, while you were there, Alistair did return, and it was at this point that Dazzle began to address the crowd, now that the greeting line had kind of diminished. And it was this point that he was introducing some talent to commemorate this moment, and we pick up with him gesturing to a group known as the Rocktets. He says, I want to introduce a group called the Rocktets, who will be singing a song of our people to commemorate the return of Razzle Dazzleson.
Oh.
They will be singing a tried and true tale of the feeling that a dwarf receives upon returning back beneath the mountain to Rockdeep And what this means is we're getting into a song right away. You three are going to be the Rocktets writing a song since you decided to split up.
Okay.
So let's go roll some chord dice.
Oh, my.
Okay, so, yeah, so, I mean...
Please explain.
The Rocktet is an a cappella group, which, you know, maybe they have somebody, you know, play drum just to keep it, but it's mostly semi-a cappella.
Right, okay.
So we'll still roll drums.
In terms of the harmonic content, you mean.
Yeah.
So we'll be playing the roles of mini dwarves, basically.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Many. So
it's a little different. I know usually we do songs as Chaos Sauce, but that's not... Yeah. Necessarily possible at this moment. I was hoping it would be, but everything will act as normal. We'll roll chord dice in the key, and you know, even I figure it'll be easier to edit down the logic drums, so we'll go that route for simplicity's sake.
Well, it's about that magical feeling, like you said.
Yeah, it's a magical feeling.
Of I'm home again.
So this is almost kind of akin to like the Hobbit dwarven song, right? Is that sort of like the mindset here?
Yeah, you could definitely say that.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, okay, so let's roll the chords, but then maybe we'll try like a different approach with the drums. But why don't we figure out the key and the chords and stuff first as a starting point.
Okay. Key's gonna be 12B.
Okay.
For Back Under the Mountain.
Ooh.
Wow.
What mode? What
major, minor? Leave it completely to chance. What are you feeling?
I kind of feel like some sort of minor, maybe Dorian, like how we've talked about how Dorian's minor but also hopeful.
Right.
Well, what? How about what does Razzle feel like? Is he? How does he feel returning? Maybe it should go based on like what are your emotions here?
I think Razzle would be a solid Dorian.
Yeah.
A bittersweet,
hopeful, but also like, oh man, ah, oh, jeez. Oh,
right.
Guys.
Right.
Dorian.
Okay.
Okay. So now four chords. Ooh. Okay, so we've got 1, 3, 4, and 7. That's pretty cool. So we'll have B minor, D major, E major, and A major. So
oh boy.
Not a very minor song anymore, but that's why we have sevenths and extensions and inversions.
Yeah.
So
it'll be fun.
Cool. But for the drums though.
If we are going off of the whole Hobbit dwarf kind of vibe, which was just singing, what if we, since it's not Chaos Sauce and we're not, I don't know, so bound by the rules, well, I guess kind of two thoughts on that. One, probably not like a regular drum kit, probably some sort of like percussive kit would make more sense.
I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe synthy drums, you know, how we like dance drums sometimes. Like, I feel like those are maybe like Yashi specific because of the magic.
Because of the magic.
Well, I don't know. But yeah.
But then on top of that, instead of like, we still roll for whatever percussion kit we're using, but maybe we can like bend the rules a little bit more and we can just write a part here.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, like, the rails just don't exist. So
yeah.
Let's go for it.
Okay.
So, Kyle, in that case, can I have a D7, please?
That's a 5.
So, that is the European folk kit.
Oh,
anyways.
Cool. Oh. So I guess we have freedom to obviously multi-track voices and do lots of stuff
we
don't normally
to,
get to
yeah.
do. Yay!
I mean, it's an octet, right? Or a rocktet, so we're going to have to.
Are you sure it's not like the Rockettes and a bunch of dwarves come out and they're like kicking their legs up and they're like...
Oh, dude, you beat me to it. You didn't give me a chance.
It's not too late, Kyle.
Anyways. All right, well, that's it. So let's
Hooray.
Get to writing. And for you at home, talk to you in a second. Hey everyone, it's your Dungeon Maestro Kyle here. Just want to come in and give you that thank you that I always give you, because heck, you deserve it. You come back week after every other week, and you listen to us bards do our weird, wild things, and well, we love you for it. So, but getting into the meat of what we're here for, it is a new month. It's February, and with a new month comes a new organization that we're happy to get to bring to your attention and happy to raise some money for. So that organization is the Black Artists and Designers Guild. Now, what they do is they are a global platform representing a curated collective of independent black artists, makers, and designers across various art and design disciplines. Their mission is all about creating safe spaces for conversations, learning and paying tribute to their ancestral creative legacy, and they want to foster the next generation of artists, makers, and designers, and they'll do that by working with leaders of institutions, design firms, publications, and manufacturers to create an inclusive design culture. So, if you want to learn more about this organization, just head on over to badguild.info. That's badguild.info. Or if you wind up purchasing any Bombarded merch, 10% of our monthly proceeds for this month are going to go to them. So again, go check it out, badguild.info. All right, I got Dungeons & Drimbus back for another round to let you know how it's going, trying to catch that elusive Florida man. But you know who's going to tell you best about it? They are. Take it away, y'all.
Oye, chicos, pero here's what's happening this week on Dungeons & Drimbus. Hunt for the Florida man.
That's 23.
Okay. You just committed genocide, whatever. It was a species of minnow that only lived in that one pool of water, and they are all dead now.
Now he tells you that. Now he tells you that after you killed him.
You don't know that? I just wanted, Claudia doesn't know that, but I wanted it.
Amanda
know,
does. Amanda knows,
How many float up?
I don't know, like 20.
Good. I pocket them.
All right, you have a pocket full of dead fish.
I got a pocket full of dead fish.
I have a duffel bag that I took from the truck. In episode 3!
New episodes of Dungeons & Drimbus Hunt for the Florida Man are available every Friday, wherever podcasts are found.
Thank you very much, Dungeons & Drimbus. And of course, thank you to all of you out there. If you're looking for any more of us, you know our social media is at BombardedCast. Use that hashtag BardCast or look up what's going on it. If you need more content from us, scoot on over to patreon.com/BombardedCast. And thank you to my Patreon producers, Caitlin Best, Pat Tang Bizgar, Kelvin Horatio, and Jake Bianchi. As far as what's coming up in the future, we got one more episode this month to round out February. And speaking of February, I want to say happy Black History Month. We are definitely taking time to honor the history of our Black friends and family this month, and especially as artists and musicians. That's paramount to what we do. So we definitely encourage you to do the same. So get on after it. Have a great February. Talk to y'all later in 2 weeks. And yeah, bye. See ya. Okay. One of the dwarves steps forward, pulls out a small disc, puts it to their lips, and...
Oh.
So the sound of the song continues to reverberate in this hall for quite some time. It's silent after that, and of all the dwarves, there's not a dry eye in the entire hall.
Razzle's over there, like, weeping. Kind of, what sound do sad cats make?
I'm howling. Yeah, but everyone's just taking a moment of, like, kind of silence. You can hear people sniffling and stifling tears and everything. And as that is happening, Randy, you are in this hallway, stealth away. These two guards are standing there, and they start talking to each other. Do you speak Dwarven?
I wish, but no.
In your heart?
Yeah.
You can't quite understand what they're talking about or what they're saying, but they're talking for about 5 minutes or so, when all of a sudden everyone experiences, together, the sound of an alarm going off.
Oh,
and you hear this almost loudspeaker-like voice that begins to say, "Alert! Conjuration magic detected in the vault! Alert! Conjuration magic detected in the vault!"
So we hear this in the banquet hall, and Randy hears this?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And Randy, these two guards, they kind of get caught off guard, which is kind of funny, but, you know. And you see them, like, for a moment flinch and then steal up, and they're looking around. And as they're looking around...
Great.
They don't notice you, but they start to turn towards the vault door because it starts to open. And out steps this dwarf with flaxen hair. There are several small braids in it that are bound together with a silver clasp that bears the sigil of what you recognize to be the royal family. He has these piercing blue eyes that look down a bulbous nose, which rests atop an overly oiled beard. He spouts off something to these two guards as he steps out in Dwarvish, and the two guards make their way into the vault door. He closes it behind them. See him take a beat, looks left, looks right, and then begins to walk down the hallway in your direction.
Okay. So, yeah, since I'm still, like, hidden in this little nook crevice thing, do I need to roll stealth again, Kyle? Am I good for right now, or?
Your last stealth check was a 25. It holds up unless you move in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Oh, no. I mean, this is Yolen, right? I mean,
be my guess. Yeah.
He's about 15 feet away, and he's kind of walking with a little bit of purpose behind his step.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let him go past, but then I would like to trail him, but at a distance, while still trying to, like, sort of cronking up against the wall with my rabbit colors matching the stone and such.
So he walks, he reaches the corner near where the nook is that you're hiding in, and he turns, he has his back to you. So if you move from this hole to follow him, I will need a stealth check.
Okay, and didn't I get advantage because of my choice of hair and color and such?
You did. You were acting from a point of nobody being around, so you were able to really get that. But with somebody actually nearby, I'm not going to give you that advantage.
That's fair, that's fair. All right. So that is an 11 plus 13.
Okay. You begin to, like, slowly step your way out of this alcove, this little nook that you found. And as you do, this dwarf turns around, brandishing a wand, points it at you, and flicks it. And I need you to give me a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I was just about to say, I'm so glad Eddie's not here to ruin this. And here we go. Spurrier still rolling wisdom saving throws.
Yeah, right. Well, it's better than usual with Eddie. That is a 14.
Okay. Unfortunately, as you step out, he turns... flicks this wand and you feel this like tightening sensation in your muscles as they just lock up and you are almost in mid-step and you just kind of teeter and fall over. He comes over, picks you up, and you hear the voice of Wesley. Says, "Well, we have somebody infiltrating. Interesting. I imagine this will actually prove beneficial for me. Let's take you on to the king and the rest of the guard and see what they have to say about this." Meanwhile, back in the banquet hall, a little bit of chaos has ensued. The crowd is starting to murmuring what's going on. The guards have acted immediately to start ushering the royal family out of the banquet hall through the royal door, which they came through. One guard stands up and addresses the crowd, basically telling them, "Everyone needs to stay put. You will be held here for questioning until we have figured out exactly what's happening. Any resistance to that will be met with manacles."
Okay. Hey, while that's happening, can I send a message? I'd like to send a message to Dankle.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Toss so it that way.
You bust out your mallets to begin performing your spell like you normally do. Oh, however, geez. At this point, one of the guards says, Spellcaster, no, over there. Cease.
No, I'm just examining my hammers. I'm about to get my sculpture on. Uh-oh. I've got a lot of work to do. With right. my wood.
Eyes on you. Eyes on you.
No. These are just
eyes on Yasha.
They're for okay. fun. I put them away.
Okay.
While that's happening, I'm trying so hard, Kyle, not to metagame. But I feel like in this moment, instead of like wanting to do a perception check on like Razzle, because like who the heck knows what's up with Razzle Wazzle at this point, since he's apparently capturing Randy, I feel like Razzle would want to make a perception check on Alistair.
Okay, roll me a perception check.
Since like all this stuff just went down when he got back. Oh, great. And that's a 9+5.
The you know, the crowd's moving a little bit here and there. People are shifting in their seats, so you're trying to get a bead on him as you're looking through. But you see Alistair sitting at where he was sitting last, kind of like finishing a couple of pieces of food off his plate, very calmly just being nonchalant about everything that's going on.
Doesn't even care. Awesome. Okay. At this point, danger, Razzle Dazzle. Okay. So Razzle, as a panther, says to Yashi, all right, let's go regroup with Alistair really quick. Okay.
Okay.
And yep. go over to Alistair. I go up to him. I still don't really know what to think, I guess. So I'll say, Alistair, just to make sure it's you. What was the name of our band that we used when we were at The Rest of Your Life? Do you remember? We were trying out band names. What was the name?
Lawful Groth.
Okay, cool. Hey,
yeah.
So...
Be cool.
I'm about to do something that's going to cause a distraction. When I'm doing that, I need you to get out of this room and go down to the vault. I kind of thought and hoped you and Randy would be together, but I'm about to do something, and you need to get gone, okay? Go down to the vault and see what the heck is up with Randy, all right?
Give me a persuasion roll.
Okay. I had all my spells out, but now I got to get my character sheet out because spells ain't happening, apparently. That's a 15+12.
Ooh. He says, you realize I could be jailed.
Hey, look at me. You're a nowhere man, right? Nowhere man, get the job done.
Shh.
I'm whispering. What is your problem? Dude, listen to all this rabble happening. Everyone's shouting, wondering what's going on. I'm keeping my voice down. It's all good.
He gives you like a really intense glare and he says, I'll try it.
All right.
You have to get me out of there if I get caught.
Dude, I believe in you, okay? We all believe in each other here.
You promise?
We're bards. Yeah, of course I promise.
I'm not a bard.
Yashi, I need you to throw me up into the air, okay? Just do it. Just throw me up
into the air. Do you want me to, like, launch you? Like,
you're going to have to toss me.
Yes. What are you going to get onto? It's all made of rock up there.
Just throw me.
Okay. I pick him up, and I toss him as high as I can, straight up.
Okay, give me a strength check.
Animal handling of a different sort.
Right, yeah.
that is a 13+5.
You're able to toss him maybe like 5 feet in the air. It's not very high, but you know, you're a tall half-orc, so it's higher than the average height of most of the people, so it stands out.
Yeah, and 5 feet in the air above a bunch of dwarves, that'll work. All right, as I'm in midair, I summon the courage I wish I had had back at the speech, and I transform out of the panther into Razzle. I swing ooh something down and play prestidigitation super fast to clean my face off so that everyone can clearly tell that it's me, Razzle, haha. And I've got my sparkly tux on, and I land, dexterity check to land, not on my face, I guess.
In acrobatics.
In my arms, if you want.
No, I need to land all, you know, superhero landing sort of thing.
That's fine.
Okay, that's a 14.
Okay, yeah, you're able to land on your feet, no problem, from this throw and transforming out.
Awesome. And I superhero landing on my feet. I swing ooh something around. I put up my signet ring, and I point at the guards, and I say, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my peers, putting suckers in fear, making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom. Razzle's okay. Back, baby. And I say, that's my family back there. You better open up these doors. Honestly, I'm pretty surprised you guys couldn't look through a simple illusion. Come on. Now let's get to it.
The room goes quiet. And some of the guards look at each other kind of in confusion. And there's this one dwarf that's looking around. And you recognize this dwarf. His name's Corvin Ironhand. He's a justice. And he's here. He's got slick back hair with an unruly lock of onyx that kind of just dangles in front of his face, ending at his jawline. And he kind of says, "Well, I reckon we have the possibility of somebody disguising themselves amongst our midst. Whether it be you or whether it be Razzle we saw earlier, I reckon it's fair to let him pass, don't you say, guards?" And some of the guards are kind of like recognizing Corvin. They're like, yeah, I guess. And like one of the guards goes forward and says,
liege?
My not sure how to.
I'm going to take on a bodyguard persona and start saying, get back, go, go, start walking forward. Watch out for the prince here. Show him your ring. Here we go. We're going to start heading for the doors.
Yes, I'm walking towards the door way. With all the confidence I can muster, which is a, we don't need to worry about confidence rolls. I'm back, right? That's a.
People are kind of parting out of the way. It's a very, very confused moment for the guards, especially. A couple of the people that you talked to were just like, I didn't think that was...
that was a kitty cat.
At this moment, as you're approaching the door, we'll go back to Randy.
Oh, boy.
You're being carried by Wesley, but right. He's disguised as a someone you haven't seen before. And you recognize that he's carrying you back to the banquet hall. And he's kind of just like holding you up, keeping you like a tight grip on you. It's after just a short while that you feel your muscles kind of unlock and you're able to move a little bit here and there, but he seems to have a pretty good hold on you. And he says, "I'm not sure exactly how you got back here, but choosing the form of a rabbit seems rather odd, considering they're not very subterranean creatures. So whoever you might be and whatever trouble you might be causing this place, I'm not going to have you take the attention away from what we've done. Well, actually, I think I will, whoever you might be." And he backhands you, and you can feel that metal hand that Wesley has.
Ow.
It hurts enough. It only does 1 HP of damage, but you're a rabbit, so that causes you to lose your polymorph.
Oh, they only have 1 hit point. Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world, so, baby. Yeah.
So you change out, and he's holding you by the scruff of the neck, which winds up being the collar of your shirt. And for a moment, you look up, and you can see this grin just go across his face, and Wesley just looks at you and says, "This is perfect. What are you doing here?"
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And you hear him change his voice, and he goes, "Hey, guards, guards." And a small contingency of guards comes around, and there's 3 of them. And he says, "Looks like I found somebody who might have caused us a little bit of trouble here." And he hands you off to these guards, and he says, "I'm going to go meet up with the royal family. You take care of patrolling. Get this one down to the dungeon."
Bye.
Then I'll just be handed off for the time being.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Another fine mess you've gotten us into, Kyle.
Well,
it was us.
You kind of did it to yourselves. But yeah, so they slap manacles on you and start leading you through the hallways of the palace.
Okay.
Now, at this point, Razzle, you're approaching that door. Some of the guards that have closed it, they confusedly just open it up as you are just enacting your royalty.
Awesome. And I want to push it open like Aragorn does when he walks into the keep. So it's all like epic. And like, Raz is so cool now. And what do I see?
You open it up and it's one of the many hallways that is inside this palace. However,
nothing's there. Good.
Yeah, nothing's there. You know that typically in a situation like this, they would take you back to like the living quarters of the palace and heavily fortify that area.
Okay, I want to go to wherever that is, wherever I know, and then try this epic door opening one more time so someone can see it. Let's see how cool I am. With Yashi. Yashi's with me, right?
Yeah, they let Yashi walk with you.
Awesome. And do we know if Alistair made it out? Nobody said, "Hey, you." So I assume he did, or
it's uncertain as you've not paid attention.
All right, well, no skin off my nose. All right, sweet. So we go and walk, and I'm trying to put myself up the whole time walking, like, come on, all right, gonna do this, gonna see the family again, and gonna figure out what the heck's going on. We got this. And I get to the door.
You're focusing in as you're walking through the hallways. I want you both to give me a perception check. Razzle, since you're focusing so hard on what you're gonna do, please do so at disadvantage.
Got it.
13 plus 2.
8 plus 5.
Yashi, you'll notice this. Razzle, you're in the zone right now. You're getting ready. But Yashi, you're walking and you're taking in the spectacle of this palace, these tall hallways and the intricate designs of the different little lamp holders and lights that are dotting the walls here. And you come to an intersection and you see a little bit down the ways, you see a set of stairs that leads down. And you notice a very familiar halfling being led by three guards downward. It looks like Randy has been captured.
All right, I nudge Razzle. Hey, look.
What?
Our little Randy, he's in trouble.
Oh, no.
They're taking him in.
And I say, hey.
The guards kind of turn for a moment, and they see you, and they say, Prince Razzle, you're supposed to be in the living quarters.
Well, I'm out here now, so can you go ahead and just bring that halfling over here? We need to do some questioning ourselves of this guy who has nothing to do with what's going on, I'm sure. And I am saying that as much to Randy as I am to the guards.
You know, right-hand Yolan actually gave us this person who seemed to have slipped past our guards. We think they're responsible for whatever's going on in the vault.
Okay, and where has Yolan gone to? That's another thing I want to know about what's going on around here.
And from around a corner steps who you recognize to be Yolan. And he says, well, Prince Razzle, I'm right here. We need to get you to a safe spot.
All right, well.
And real quick, like from over where I am, because Kyle, I can still speak, right? I'm just like, man.
Yeah, you can speak and you can hear Yolan talking.
Okay. And I just hear me cough real loud and go, Wolan! Wolan!
Oh, okay. I see. All right. Then Razzle, swings Ooh Something down and goes, stop in the name of Rez! Because Yolan's saying really weird jazz. And I want to cast Hold Person on Yolan.
Okay, so that's a wisdom saving throw. Your DC is what?
16.
Okay. You see Yolan start to kind of like stiffen up and just stand still, and he's kind of giving you this steely glare. Seems as though your spell has taken effect.
Okay. Can I look through the Yolan disguise? What would that be? Investigation? Like what we did for Wazzle earlier?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yashi, also look through the disguise,
yes, please.
Randy, if you can see him, why not? Let's go ahead and...
Randy cannot see him from where he is.
Right. So 16 plus 1.
I got a 5.
Okay.
Sorry. Plus Jote, so 7, I guess.
So, yeah, Yashi, you can see this is not actually who it looked like at first, and you can see through, and you see that Wesley is standing there, metal arms, the mark on his forehead, just standing there stiff. Now, Hold Person only lasts a minute, so, you know.
Act fast.
That's fine. I burst into rage the moment I recognize that face.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Gonna charge at him, and I'm gonna start beating his ass.
Oh, no.
Real hard.
And I'm probably, I don't know that it's not Yolan, so I'm like, oh, no, that's actually Yolan. Yashi, stop.
Okay, Yashi, you run forward. Give me an attack roll at advantage.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I don't even want to use my hammers. I just want to use my fists on him.
Okay.
That is a 17 plus 5 right to his dumb face.
Okay, yeah, no. You run in and you just straight slug him right in the face.
Razzle's horrified.
I'll call out, it's totally Wesley.
Oh,
you want to come help?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Come get your
like
shot
that.
In. Okay. Or maybe you go help Randy and I'll take care of this.
Okay, first things first, I yell to the guards, that's not really Yolan, because they don't know either.
They look confused. They're like, so we just take this one down to the...
No, stop.
Continue taking him
Hold
down.
Hold Yolan. Let the halfling go. Hold Yolan.
So if I smack him like that, does he come out of the Yolan disguise and he now looks like Wesley?
Unfortunately, no. His illusion does not drop.
That's okay. I have an extra attack, so...
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, level 5. So I think...
That's nice.
I think I'm just gonna lay one more into him. Like,
sure.
I really...
Do another attack roll at
advantage. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay, so that is a 10 plus 5.
So a 15, unfortunately, does not hit. You
just punch the floor.
Yeah, well, you wind up like getting a punch across the face, and then you go for another punch. You wind up hitting him in his shoulder, and your fist meets metal as you just hear like this like slight vibration tremor down his arm. You shake your fist out a little bit and realize, like, oh, well, should have hit harder.
Well, at least, I guess so. At least I know I can't mess up his metal arms because that was my next move. And by the way, I actually have a plus two onto damage for the rage stuff.
Yes, your rage.
Anyway, so the first hit was 10. I don't know if that changes anything, but
consolation prize.
Probably not. Yeah.
I'll go ahead and mark it down.
And at this point, like, I think Razzle's caught up to this fray, I suppose. And I want to cast Zone of Truth really quick, which is not a concentration spell, so I should be able to do it and also keep hold person.
Okay.
And so I still have Ooh Something swung down. And so when I arrive to Wesley, I say, "Get in the zone, Zone of Truth." And I look down at him. I take Ooh Something off my shoulders and I hold the axe part of it to his neck. And I say, "Are you Yolin? And don't mess with me right now. And you got 2 seconds to answer, or this is about to meet neck."
You can tell that Wesley did not pass the savings throw.
Okay.
It looks like he's trying to talk, but he can't talk right now because he is paralyzed from your spell.
Oh, man.
At this point, the guards have walked Randy around the corner, still in shackles and whatnot, and sees you holding a blade to Yolin's neck. They kind of look really concerned.
Dang.
They look uncertain as to what to do.
Okay, and Razzle thinks to himself, "I really should remember my status effects and that somebody who is under the effect of hold person also can't talk because of their freaking status. Oh my.
Yeah.
And I think all that so fast. And so then I look down at Wazzle Wesley, and I want to cast Dispel Magic.
Okay.
And I want to cast it at a 4th level spell, so if whatever he's using to disguise himself is 4th level or lower, it automatically ends, and if it doesn't, let me know and we can talk more about what is happening.
It automatically ends, no need to roll.
Awesome.
The guise of Yolin just kind of disapparates,
nice.
Revealing a held in place Wesley.
Okay, and how much time is left on my spell?
You have about 42 seconds left on hold person.
Okay, cool. And I say, "Guards, behold!" And just to make sure they're on the same page, go, Yasha, go.
Just hold his head up by his hair, like, "Look at him, look at his face."
Seeing the spell disapparate, they immediately make their move. Another one of them busting out a separate set of manacles. They go over and they place them on Wesley's hands, moving his hands to where they're confined.
Can they put him behind his back? Can I tell him that?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
I wanted to check him first before that, just to see if he has anything in his pockets or hands, or like,
yeah.
I want to check around his body.
Give me an investigation.
Okay. While that's happening, I turn to the guards and be like, "Do you guys want to take these off now, please?"
They look towards Razzle and they just say, "Is that okay,
yes,
my prince?"
Let him go.
Nice.
They go over and they undo your manacles.
Thank
All
you.
All right, I got a 15 plus one on investigation.
Okay. You notice what he's carrying on him. He seems to have collected a good amount of little trinkets here and there. Seems he has like a set of like thieves tool on him, a little like quick tinkerer's tool set that's in a side pouch. He's also carrying around a dulcimer, which seems very odd.
Oh.
And you notice he also has a wand on him, which when you produce this wand, Randy, you recognize this as the wand that Yolin used against you.
Mm, okay.
Okay, I'm taking all that before they put handcuffs on him.
And I want to tell the guards or have myself before this hold person spell ends. I want to like cover his mouth up so he can't cast any spells with that.
Okay.
Gag him
so
pretty much.
You pull out a piece of cloth, you tie it over his mouth and gag him.
And I am so nervous. I still, after I do that, I hold Ooh Something back up to his neck and I say, "All right, you're going to come quietly." And I let go of the hold person spell, still with Ooh Something at his neck, and I say, "We good? You gonna behave?"
He stands there, his hands clasped behind his back, just looking down at the ground. And even through the gag, you see a slight smirk come across his face. And he nods.
Okay.
His arms are made of harmonium. They're very strong.
True.
Very strong.
Guards, get your spell bags. Let's go.
I'm going to hold his hand so that he can't do any finger things.
Okay, so you hold his hands. Yashi, give me a strength check.
Oh, boy.
16 plus 5.
Okay. You can tell he begins to squeeze with his hands. However, your strength is able to maintain from him just crushing your hands. Your hands hurt, but he doesn't have enough strength to be able to absolutely just crush your hands.
Well, that's good.
Okay. Razzle says, "Randy, would you mind putting Wesley to sleep just for a little bit while we..."
It's good to see you too.
Oh, right. Glad you're fine. Yes.
Yeah. No, we'll catch up. Put him to sleep? Yeah, that would be... I could do something more than that if you want.
Quickly which, now. Hurry up.
No, all right, all right.
30 seconds. Just
please, just put him to sleep.
Please.
Yeah, all right. So I will pull out my organ now that I have been freed, and I will cast it as a fourth level spell. So pull out the old organ, look right at Wesley, and sing.
Please stop causing harm with metal arms. We're better off if you are sleeping.
And since this is 11d8, I'll just do this online. And okay. That beep, boop, is beep, going beep, to beep, beep, boop. Give us 52.
Okay. As you cast your spell, the magic goes out, and it does not seem to have an effect in any way, shape, or form on Wesley. As you've been casting, you can hear him kind of grumbling through the gag, just going,
I would not let him talk.
No. Okay, and with him standing there in front of me, Razzle looks Wesley dead in the eye, and he says, this will be over soon, okay? And I'm going to take something, and I'm going to come down on his shoulder where his harmonium arm is, and I am aiming to remove it from his body.
Interesting. Give me an attack at advantage.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, I guess I'll roll the percentage dice because I still have the capo attached, so I have a 20% yes, chance of a headshot. So.
Oh, no. Yes, you do.
His head's definitely right there. Let's just go ahead and roll that first. 51. Awesome. So, no. I was going between 1 and 20. Don't worry. Okay.
Okay.
That's a 12 plus 7.
Okay. So, you come down on the shoulder. He's wearing clothes, so you're coming down around where you think it would start.
Right.
And you hear metal meet metal as ooh something clangs into his arm. Yashi and Razzle, I want you both to give me constitution checks because the arm of Wesley is vibrating violently, and so is ooh something.
Oh.
It's like when
no.
you hit a metal pole okay. with a baseball bat.
Yeah, totally. Right. Okay.
18 plus 6.
14.
Razzle, you're vibrating as your axe is just shaking. It's reverberating out. The arm is reverberating out as well, but Yashi, you manage to stifle the reverberations. It aches your forearms mildly, and you can see that the clothes that cover the shoulder have been torn, revealing a deep gouge in Wesley's harmonium arm, and you can see it just goes slack and like it no longer functions.
Oh.
But you can also see that around this area, it looks like the arm has been grafted on in a very mechanical way. There are bolts that protrude out of it and dig deep into the skin. As the reverberations continue through the hall from both the arm and the axe, I need all three of you to give me one more constitution save.
Oh,
and the
boy.
Guards will have to as well.
Hooray.
13 plus 6.
17 plus 1.
16.
Okay. You all three feel this real queasy feeling as these vibrations fill the hallway. You're reminded of your time in the Tomb of the Diz. The three guards that are standing nearby just start, like, looking nauseous. They lose their balance. Like, they have vertigo, fall over. One of them just expels their lunch out onto the ground. They're like, I'm sorry, Malik.
I'm
sick.
It's okay. It's okay.
Wesley's just standing there. It looks like he's in a lot of pain from this.
Right.
But it looks like you have pretty much made it incapacitated his arm.
That one arm.
Okay. Let's finish the job, guys.
Well, so wait, Kyle. So you said it looks pretty safe to assume that it's mechanically attached, not magically attached, based on like the bolts and everything.
Yes.
So okay. Just get back there and unscrew some bolts and
be a little bit more surgical this time around.
Lego arm style. Cool.
Yeah, right.
Can we just do that real quick?
Yes. Who's doing it?
What's the check?
Would this
be there?
So I have a. I was. Is this a medicine check?
It will be a medicine check.
All right.
Right.
However, I'm going to alter this medicine check because this isn't your normal biological medicine check. This involves machinery, so it's going to be a medicine check using intelligence rather than wisdom.
No.
Would that just be like our intelligence modifier then?
Yeah. Instead of adding your wisdom modifier, you add your intelligence modifier.
I got nothing.
So
I'd have a plus three on that.
Because I have proficiency with medicine.
I love the visual of this. Is like the three of us are standing behind Wesley, like, so who has the best like proficiency with like unscrewing this? I'm not sure. What is yours? Like, yes, let's do this.
Yeah, and I guess with like all like my thieving tools and stuff, it would make sense. Like,
right.
Give this a try.
Your thieving tools don't seem as they would serve the purpose of giving you any kind of benefit in this scenario.
I have tinkerer's tools or carpentry tools.
Oh,
Yashi displays these in front of you, and you see that the tinkerer's tools. Yeah, maybe the tinkerer's tools would help out a little bit.
Those would get the job done? Okay.
Awesome.
Here you go. They'll give you a plus two.
Here's some tools here.
So that would be a 16 plus 3 plus 2.
Very good. So you begin undoing the screws. Of course, with that, there is the slight trickle of blood.
Right. Yeah.
It's very minimal in comparison to other means.
But yes, yes.
Sure,
but, sure. But you can see as you get the main holding lug nuts unscrewed and undone, the arm seems to clip into this holster almost. And you can see there's a ball and socket joint that fits in. And there are tubes that run from the inside of this arm to it. You pull those, and one by one, you just hear Wesley begin to like, he's in pain.
Okay, I want to cast.
You get it off, no problem.
I want to cast Cure Wounds on him once it's off. And the other one's off too, so that Wesley can be okay. We're doing this for everyone, for the realm's safety, the greater good, the greater good.
Okay, go ahead and roll your Cure Wounds on. Right.
So, Kyle, I just have this arm now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Uh-oh. What's this? Oh, no. Okay, so I'm going to cast Cure Wounds at a third level spell. So I'm going to do 3d8, okay. 6, 10, and 12. So that's 12. On one side, and I'll cast it again on the other side, unless that does it.
Don't worry about holding it up. The main thing that you notice from casting this is the bruising that is on his face seems to start to clear up. It starts to fade away.
Oh, man.
And you can see, like, you know, his eye was starting to swell up a little bit, but that swelling goes down from the effects of your spell. And after you do this, you just see him, like, he shakes his head and he starts to, like, grumble something that you can't understand with the gag in his mouth. It's like, oh, not anymore.
Okay, I'm fine not understanding that for the time being.
Now, do you think comprehend languages would allow me to understand mumbling?
No.
Okay, worth a shot.
Why not? Wesley, kind of no hard feelings with that, maybe a little bit. It's been, what an adventure we've had, Wesley, together over these past 65 episodes.
He cranes his neck back a little bit, pops it.
Oh, okay. So he's feeling good.
And just looks you with a quick glance. And with this knowing look in his eye, you hear him say,
"Oh, hello, Mahahoy."
Okay.
He's got a message. I know that word.
Okay.
Message.
All right, group vote. Should we let him talk to us? This feels dangerous.
Well, so what I could do is do message on him, and then he has to tell me through his brain and not through his mouth.
Do that. Do that. Sounds good.
Okay. What are you doing?
I'm
casting message.
Casting message on him, so he has to tell me his message with not being out loud in case it's a magic message.
Okay.
Okay. Let me do that real quick. I hope that Wesley gets my. I hope that Wesley gets my. I hope that Wesley gets my message that I whisper. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll say, if you got a message, tell me now because this is your only shot.
And you hear in your head, he says, "Take me to where ooh something is kept, and I'll tell you."
And I relay that message to you guys.
And I proudly display ooh something and say, "You're looking at him, bud. Dish."
He shakes his head.
He said where it was stored.
Oh, I know what he said, Randy.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Like, the, you know, you heard, so.
How are the guards, by the way? Are they okay?
They look like they've recovered. They still look a little queasy. The one that, you know, kind of lost his lunch is probably the worst of all. But they seem to be getting back up on their feet.
Okay, I point to one of them and I say, "Go to the royal family. The Razzle that's there isn't the real Razzle. I don't know what he is, but you need to detain him. You can tell it's me, right?" And I hold up the signet ring, ooh something. I tell him, "You tell him to meet us where ooh something is kept, okay?"
And one of them replies and says, I can do that, Malish, but, you know, the Razzle that came back first, they had ooh something as well, and a ring.
Okay, how do I tell a character in character to do a freaking investigation check on this guitar, on this axe I'm holding? Can I say, like, "Take a good look"?
He takes a good look and he just says, I'm sorry, my prince. You know, seeing it every day on patrol, I recognize, yes, this is a real ooh something, but whatever they brought back, I'm sorry, sir. And at this point, Wesley just starts chuckling to himself.
Oh, man. So don't make me reconsider. How do you undo a cure wound spell, Kyle? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's just pull out the axe again.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Okay, just trust me. Trust me. I don't know how to tell this guard, like,
I'll put my faith in you, Malish. I'll go. Do you want the others to stay here with you?
Yes, you two, with me, we're going to the vault. You, get to the family, detain that fake razzle-wazzle, whatever. Tell the family, meet me where something's kept. All right, do it now. Go.
All right. Yes, I'm off. And he starts skittering down the hallway in the direction of the living areas in the palace.
All right, I turn to Wesley. Sorry, I'm kind of driving here, guys. I feel like
it's fine.
Okay, every day sorry. A little bit more like a king.
Oh boy, don't say that. Okay, maybe say it. It's fine. Anyway, so all right, I turn back to Wesley, and I'm like, all right, let's see what you've got, dude. But one false move, and I put Usamta back up to his neck, and I say, you see, I'm not shy with this thing, right? So let's all be friends for a little bit, okay?
He kind of steps into the blade a little bit, causing a small slice on his neck. It just kind of beads up a little bit, and he gives you a hard look in the eye and a wink.
All right, get going. And we start
okay, so
our merry trek down.
You lead him through the halls of the palace towards the great hall where Usumpton is normally kept. As you walk in, you see an Usumpton on the wall. It's sitting in the place of where you, years ago, had originally taken Usumpton from its place. You walk up to it. Yashi, Randy, this looks... It looks spot on. You've been traveling with Razzle for a good little while now, and you've seen his axe many times. The only difference is it is not strung up like an instrument.
Right. Okay.
And Razzle looks at it cold and hard, like...
I'm not even going to make you roll for this, because as you look at this thing, it is an impeccably crafted replica of Usumpton. It far exceeds anything you have tried to do yourself.
Oh, good. So it's not the one I left.
Awesome. Absolutely not. There's okay, no great. Way. And as you take this in, you begin to hear Wesley mumble a little bit through the gag.
All right. And I just take the gag off, like, say what you need to say. Say what you need to say.
And he kind of looks up at you as you remove the gag. Say hello to Septence. Acceptance. Redaba says hello.
What?
And that's where we're going to end our episode.
Okay.